remain standing if we might and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. And this morning I would like to speak on the 44th benefit of receiving the true understanding of the Son of God, or the promise of God to us concerning our believing in His Son. And that is that you will be given discernment to know right from wrong, and those who are righteous from those who are wicked. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. Jesus said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we truly recognize, Lord, that you yourself have come down with a message, and as your prophet William Branham said, my ministry is to declare him that he is here. Therefore, Father, we recognize that his ministry was to declare you, to bring forth from that which was hidden to that which can be seen, and it was done through a word or a message. And Father, we thank you that not only was he to declare you, but also that your presence is here, gathering together your elect. And Father, we just commit ourselves, Lord, to the understanding of that message which your prophet brought, knowing that he said, I'm not a oneness and I'm not a Trinitarian. They're both wrong, but I stand right down the middle. And so, Father, we commit, Lord, our understanding to that which you gave to your prophet. We pray that the mind that was in Christ would be in us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, these words of Jesus are most profound to the unbeliever, and they're hard to be acknowledged by the make-believer. But to the believer, they are life. Notice that Jesus is telling us here that no man knows the Son except the Father. No man knows the Father except the Son, and then only those whom the Son will reveal him. So unless God has called you to this great revelation of the doctrine of Christ, you will be helplessly lost in your trying to figure it out. Either you will be too far to one side, the oneness, or too far to the other, the Trinitarian. But the balance of one God having a Son and then indwelling that Son will forever be a frustrating experience to you. And so you will either try to crush it, or you'll go crazy trying to understand what you're not ordained to understand. I believe only those that are sons can understand sonship. Others can try to figure it out. They can try to manipulate it in their mind. But unless you are a son, I do not believe that you will understand what it means to be a son. Now, Brother Branham said from the curtain of time, he said they couldn't understand him. He was a mystery, even to the apostles. No one could understand him because there was two people talking all the time. The person Jesus Christ was talking, and God was talking in him also. Sometimes it was Christ himself, and sometimes it was the Father that dwelt in him. Do you see it? Now, we wonder why so many have come out against what we preach, and the answer is this, that they just don't know what is being preached, no more than they know what Brother Branham preached or the Apostle Paul preached, because it takes a revelation from God to know. So when Jesus said, no man knoweth the Son unless the Father reveals him to them, and then he said, no man knoweth the Father unless the Son reveals him to them, then it is apparent that the revelation of Christ or the doctrine of Christ is not for everyone. In fact, if you turn with me to 2 John verse 3, and then we'll read verse 3 and verse 9. Notice in verse 3 he says, "Grace be with you and mercy and peace from God the Father," and Brother Branham in his ways he told us that the word "and" is a conjunction, "and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Now, why in the world would John call him the Son of the Father if Jesus was one like your finger is one? See, Brother Branham said he's not one like your finger is one. He said that there's a difference between the Father and the Son. Sons have beginnings. Now, notice verse 9. "Whosoever transgresses," and that word "transgress" means to go beyond the limits. "Whosoever goes beyond the limits and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And the word "hath" is a Greek word "echo." So he that abideth not or does not remain in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He cannot echo God. The Greek word is echo. It's the same as in our language, same in Spanish, the word echo. And it means they cannot reflect, or they cannot manifest. They cannot echo. God is a word, and so if you want to be like Him, you've got to say the same thing. You see, you echo what He says. And He says, He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. Why? Because in God was life, and in John 5 and 26, He says, in the Father was life, and He gave life unto His Son. And so if you have that same life in you, you're going to echo the same thing. You're going to say the same thing. When Jesus said, He that confesses Me before men, I'll confess Him before My Father, that Greek word confess is a homo logo, or homo logia. And it actually means, homo means the same. And logio is a derivative of logos. So it's to say the same word. So Jesus said, if you confess Me before men, if you say the same thing before men, I will say the same thing before you. In other words, if we say the word, which God is the word, and when we say the same word about Jesus before men, then He'll say the same thing to God before us, about us before God. So when Jesus said, no man knoweth the Father unless the Father reveals Him to them, and then He said, no man knoweth the Father unless the Son revealed to him, then it is apparent that the revelation of Christ or the doctrine of Christ isn't for everyone. In fact, John goes on to say, if there be any that come unto you and bring not the doctrine, bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. That's pretty strong talk. Pretty strong talk to say if they don't have this doctrine of Christ, don't even accept him into your house. And he says, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. Now John's calling then any revelation contrary to the revelation or the doctrine of Christ, he's calling it evil. So we have a whole world that's mixed up in their theology. We have a pope that just died yesterday. We have a world that's groping in sin, and a mass of humanity that has no clue as to God. Paul said the Gentiles worship a God that they know not. Jesus said the same thing. He said the Gentiles worship a God they know not. Paul said you worship a God that is, you know, that you don't know. And so you ask them about, well, how can you explain the Godhead? And they say, well, it's a mystery. We don't have to know it. We just have to believe it. Now, how can you believe something you don't know? You see, I just don't understand. Now, Brother Bram said, I'm not a oneness. I'm not Trinitarian. He said the problem is the Trinitarians went to the far extreme of making it three gods, and the oneness went into a Unitarian belief where they make Jesus and His Father one like your fingers one. Now, if Jesus and God were one like your fingers one, then when God ascended up on high and He led captivity captive and He raised His Son from the dead, where did the body go? Well, the Bible says the body is sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high, making intercession for our confession. Now, some people say that the body went back to gases. They say, well, any perfect sacrifice is consumed, so that had to be consumed. Well, I differ. And I differ with them, because if we don't have a high priest, then we are most miserable. If we don't have a literal blood, it's just a figurative blood, then we are most miserable. Now, reckon that the blood now is in the Word, but we still have to have that Word. And if we don't have it, if we don't walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we cannot fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't cleanse us from all sin. So, anyway, Brother Bram said from Testimony on the Sea, he said, now, that would go right over the top of the unbeliever. They never know it. They were predestinated to disbelieve the Word. Well, that's pretty strong, Brother Branham. Predestinated to disbelieve the Word? Well, that's what he said. He said, you believe that? Jude said so. Men of old foreordained to this condemnation, to rise up in the last days to disbelieve God's word. How many knows that that's the scripture? Sure, or foreordained of God to be unbelievers. What a pitiful shape. Unbelievers can't help it, no more than Esau could help being Esau, or Pharaoh being Pharaoh. What a pitiful condition. And if you are a believer tonight in the word of God, how blessed your eyes are to live in this day to see the glory of God, how is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit throughout the world. If you're not so churched together and wound together by creeds and denomination that you can't even listen to the Word of God, what a horrible condition to be in. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots, not a hope of ever being saved. That's what the Scripture says. So dead that they don't even understand nothing but their creeds. Now, that's pretty sad when people have turned themselves off. They've turned themselves away from the Word, but that's what they have done. Now, Brother Bram also said from a message called Divine Healing, he said, listen, it's not him that wants to get saved that's saved. It's him that's saved by God's choice. Amen. Esau wanted to get saved too. He wept bitterly and couldn't find no place to repent. He wanted to get saved. And it ain't 'cause you want to get saved, God said, I've hardened whom I will harden. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's right. He said, before Esau and Jacob either was born, not knowing right from wrong, God said, I loved Jacob and hated Esau. And Esau tried to get right with God, and he couldn't. Pharaoh tried to get right with God, and he couldn't do it. So it's not you. It's not what you want. It's what God has ordained for you to do. That's right. Paul said in the 9th chapter of Romans there, hasn't the potter got power over the clay to make an honored vessel or a dishonored vessel to show his glory to those who he has honored? You didn't know that, did you? That's what the scripture says. Pharaoh tried his best to repent. He was kind-hearted. He said, sure, I'll let you go. Go on. But God said, no, you ain't. I'm going to harden his heart so you can't do it. Because God's word has to be fulfilled. And if we're living in this day when formalities and things are broken, have broken the church down and broke away, why, it's God's word being fulfilled. As sure as God said, these signs will follow them that believe. As sure as God said, the churches would be like they are now. God also said this opposition would meet it. So the same God that ordained signs and wonders ordained that these should be persecuting against it. So there you are. If you're on the other side, I feel sorry. And I don't want you to be that way, but maybe you can't help it, see? God might have fixed it that way. Now, to some, that's a very, very bleak outlook. But to me, that's a very wonderful outlook. Because we're in the hands of God, whether for good, whether for bad. And it will please God, whatever our outcome is. It's a good pleasure of His will. Like, that's why Brother Brown could say, he said, if it's God's pleasure to send me to hell, I'll go there happily. Amen. Now that's a man that has God's interest in mind. You see? Not our own. Like Brother Brown said, our object isn't to try to pray and change God's mind. We should be praying that God would change our mind. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. What a statement. And yet Jesus told his apostles the very same thing. They asked him why he spake in parables, and he said, because you are ordained to understand, but those on the outside are not ordained to believe it, lest that they should benefit by it. And that's right. He said Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 4. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, we're going to read from verse 10. And the disciples, they came, and they said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and he said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. Now let's jump up to verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And notice, and their eyes they have closed. Now the eyes are the prophets. So they've closed themselves off to the prophets. You see? Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So Jesus is making a very definite distinction between those that are elect to understand and those that are not elect to understand. Now that doesn't mean that we should have an attitude toward those people. If a person is ordained to be blind, you should feel sorry. You should have compassion. You shouldn't get upset when they want to fuss and stew and everything else. They're ordained to that. Brother Brown says some are ordained to believe. Others are ordained to persecute it. They're just doing what God fashioned them to do. Also in Mark chapter 4 and verse 10, and when he was alone, they that were with him, with the 12, they asked him of the parable. And they said unto him, unto you it is, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without. Now what does that mean? It means on the outside. You see? All these things were done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. You see, unless you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood doesn't cleanse you. You can talk about the blood all you want. You can claim the blood all you want. You can claim you're saved all you want. But just because you say so doesn't make it so. If you were not ordained, if Brother Brown said, if you didn't have representation beforehand, you won't have representation at the end. You see? And if you didn't have representation before the foundations of the world, then you can sit here all you want and claim that, you know, Brother Branham's your prophet all you want. It doesn't matter how much you claim, what you think. It's still no good unless you were in God's thinking before the foundations of the world. So you've got to have that gene seed in you.
Amen.
You see? Now, this morning we're looking at the benefit of being able to know the Father and His Son. Because to not know Him places you in a precarious situation, and it doesn't speak good of your future. Can you imagine what Peter and Jude said? He said, there are people ordained to condemnation. Can you imagine what Peter just think about that. Ordained to condemnation. They don't even stand a chance to begin with. No wonder that they hate the light so much and will not come to the light, because they will not, they will be exposed for what they really are. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, he said, what makes manifest is light. So when the light strikes a seed, I don't care what that seed is, if it's a wheat seed or if it's tare, it's going to manifest when the light strikes it. You can cover it up in darkness all you want and it'll never manifest. But you give it the light one time, you give it the word test. Give it the light, and pretty soon you'll find if it's a seed of God or if it's a seed of the devil. You see? In John chapter 3 and verse 18, already. Now think about that. Condemned before they even have opportunity to believe or not believe. Why? Because God knows they won't believe. Because they're not ordained to believe. You see, predestination is not your choosing. It's God's choosing. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You see? And predestination is, the best I can say for predestination, it's like a seed. God places every attribute, every characteristic in that seed that ever will be. Its reaction to the light, its timing, its season, everything. You know, there's a seed for every season. And so when you have a seed, and that seed is to be planted in the springtime, it'll bring up a fall harvest. Sometimes you have a seed that's planted in the fall, it'll bring up a spring harvest. You see, there's a seed for every season. And God has a seed, and we happen to be a seed at the end time. We were ordained for the end time, because what is in you by seed? You could not have sat under Luther's message. Amen. It would have been okay for a while, but you would have got tired after a while because you would have seen more. You would have been probing more. You would not have been, the hungering and the thirsting would have been there. You couldn't have sat under John Wesley's message. You see? God made you for the end time. Otherwise, you would have been there. It's just that simple. And so there's a seed for every season. And each seed has placed within it an ability to respond to the stigma that God gives it. God gives you light, you grow. God gives you water, you grow. You see, there are some seeds, you give too much water, it dies. You see? So God placed within you an ability to respond to the water. And lots of water in this day. Amen. So he says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God, that they have their source in God. So we see the importance of knowing the Father and the Son. But you cannot know unless God ordains you to know. And when Jesus said, no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him, he used the Greek word epigenosko, which means to become thoroughly acquainted with, to know thoroughly, to know accurately, to know well, to perceive who a person is, and to understand that person. Therefore, if they don't know the Father, then they do not know God. And John told us that if they do not have the doctrine of Christ, they have not God. Jesus told us the Gentiles worship what they know not. In other words, their worship is only a guess. Their worship, then, could never be perfect. It could only be stabbed at and probed at, like shooting in the dark. Hit or miss. And that shows that they really don't care what they worship. When people are not concerned enough to know the God that they are to worship. There's something missing in the bundle. And that's desire. They have no real desire to get to know their Maker. They go to church. They're good people. They do kind things. They have a works mentality. But what son would not want to know his father? So you see then, as Paul said in Acts 13 and 48, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That's what life is all about. Bringing you to the place of belief. So you see then, only those ordained to life can believe. And thus thus the believing leads to knowing. And those that know God, John tells us, they will hear us. In 1 John 4 and verse 5, he says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Now that's quite a boast. Or is it? See, what John is saying is, look, if I am of God, I will be speaking the truth. If you are of God, you'll be craving the truth. And it'll come together. You'll hear me, is what he's saying. You'll hear those that are preaching the truth. You won't be running from them. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now when he says we are of God, he's speaking of those who are walking in the light. And the light is the doctrine of Christ. So if they refuse to hear those who preach the truth, it can only be because there is no truth in them. And they know not God. They're happy to believe God's a mystery. You don't have to understand. Jesus said in John 8 and 43, why do you not understand my speech? Now notice he's asking them a question. Why don't you understand what I'm telling you? And if he's asking them a question, there's got to be an answer. And then he answers his own question. He says, even because you cannot, that's a strong word, cannot, impossible. He says, even because you cannot hear my word. That means to understand, they can't understand the word. And he goes on to say, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Now look, both Jesus and John are saying the same thing. If God sends someone out with the truth, the light, and you turn it down, it shows that you're not of God. And Jesus told us in John 8 and verse 37, ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. And that is why Brother Bram said that some are ordained to believe while others are ordained to persecute those who do believe. Thus, if we know then that the knowing brings about a correct discerning of right from wrong. And if you have a correct understanding of right and wrong, then you will know those who serve God and those who do not serve God. So if we turn down those that are serving God, where does that leave you? What place are we in? From Malachi 3:16 we read, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Notice a relationship there. God is claiming them as sons. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You know, people think that discernment is some magical thing. It's magical because somehow, some way, by a mysterious thing, you can discern. But that's not what discernment is all about. That's not even what discernment is. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you have the Word of God, you can discern. Now, I'm not talking about sitting here and discerning what John's thinking right now. The Word of God can do that. But if I have the Word of God, and I know that you do something, say something, or whatever, John, and I know it's off the Word, I know it's off the Word. If it's on the Word, I know it's on the Word. Because I have the Word of God. See, the word righteousness comes from the old English, right wiseness. It means having a right thinking. The Scripture says they do right because, or they are righteous because they do right. Of righteousness because they do right. So you see, a right thinking is righteousness. That's what it is. Well, then what is a wrong thinking? It's unrighteousness. Therefore, you ought to be, if you have the Word of God living and abiding in you, if you get together, talk the Word, he says, they that heard that feared the Lord spake often one to another, not just waiting around for, you know, once in a while, but they spake often one to another about the Word. And the more you talk about the Word, the more your own unbelief goes by the wayside. You see? Because your little light's coming together, you're bouncing the Word back and forth. One says, you know, I think it says this, but another says, yeah, but it also says this. Ah, now I'm getting a balance. You see? So what's happening is the unbelief is going out. A discerning is taking over. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. He wrote a book of remembrance of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon Him. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. And they'll be like a son that serveth his father. Jesus, the obedient Son. We, sons, come forth in like manner in His image. So you see, if we do not know the Son of God, we will never know the Father of the Son. And if we do not know God, then how are we going to know who is preaching the truth about God? If God's a mystery to them, why would I want to hear a mystery? It just brings confusion. In 1 John 2 and verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Now that word deny means to disavow. It means to reject or to abnegate, kind of put aside. In other words, to refuse that He exists. That's pretty sad when you throw away your sacrifice like that. In Romans 10 and verse 14, Paul said, how then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then Martin Luther said, even though they say that they hear, they boast in vain unless they hear true preachers. For to hear false prophets means as much as not to hear. They hear and they do not hear. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor do they preach the Word of God. And then Paul continues in verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now Martin Luther said in his book on Romans, he said, this is directed against all conceited teachers and arrogant instructors. So then the entire source and origin of salvation rests on this, that God sends out someone, a true minister of the word. If He does not send out any, then they who are preaching falsely. They're running without a message. And their preaching is no preaching at all. In fact, it would be better for them not to preach. Then also they who hear would hear error. And it would be better for them not to hear. Then also they who believe would believe false doctrine. And it would be better for them not to believe. Then also they who would call upon Him would be calling falsely upon a false Lord. And it would be better for them not to even call. For such preachers do not preach. Such hearers do not hear. Such believers do not believe. Such callers do not call. And they will be damned because they would be saved by falsehood. Now we can talk all we want about the good intentions of people. But as the old expression says, hell is paved. The way to hell is paved by good intentions. Oh, I think good intentions are fine. But good intentions outside of the Word of God will not merit you one thing. Then we would see what is spoken of in Proverbs 1 and 28, which says, "Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Verse 16. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" So then faith, which we know, Brother Rand said, faith is revelation. It cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the true revealed and vindicated word of God. Then can you see the importance this morning of receiving a vindicated ministry? Because if it's not vindicated, then how do you know what you're hearing is not error? And if it is error, then you would be believing error. And if you believe error, then you would be calling out to a wrong God. And if you call out to a wrong God, then how could you be saved? Who's going to save you? Therefore, God has come down to vouchsafe His own presence among us. We know that we are the elect of God because He said so, not because I think it or you think it. He said so. It is not just something that we've read in a book, but God Himself has come down and has spoken through the lips of a prophet whom He has vindicated, and that is what we're standing on this morning. In Romans 10 and verse 18, Paul says, "But I say, have they heard? Have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not all Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy to them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that seeked or that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all the day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people." So what we see here then is this: either you are elect or you are not. Paul speaks of Isaiah, who tells us of a people who are actually, they've heard with their ears, but not with their soul. And Isaiah asks the question, who hath believed our report? Now look at the argument Paul uses in verse 18 and verse 19. "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the world, or all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know?" And then Paul answers his own question by telling us that Moses chastened them, by telling them that there would be a people who would hear and believe. And then Paul points to the boldness of Isaiah, and he says outright that he told them that they were a disobedient and a gainsaying people. Now, what did Paul mean by this? Well, the word disobedient here is from a Greek word, apatheo, and it means unbelieving. But it means more than just not able to believe. It means not to allow oneself to be persuaded. Not willing to comply with. To refuse. To withhold belief. To refuse to believe or to refuse obedience. And that is what John tells us in John chapter 3, verse 19. That they refused the light. It's a willing effort they make to refuse. In Matthew 23, Jesus said to the Pharisees, He said, you won't go in yourself, and neither will you suffer others to go in that would want to go in. In Romans 1 and verse 18, Paul tells us that they hold down the truth. That word is keteko. They suppress it. They hold it back. They keep others from it. Therefore, we see that there is a willful ignorance that's involved here. And the other word Paul uses to describe this people is the Greek word antilego, and it's translated from the King James Version, or in the King James Version, as the word gainsaying, which doesn't mean much in these days, but the true meaning behind this word antilego is to speak against, or to gainsay, to contradict, to oppose oneself to another, to decline to obey, to declare oneself against, to refuse to have anything to do with Him. Therefore, we see a common thread in both these attributes. It is a people who willfully will not surrender themselves to the lordship of the Word. And therefore, they, in order to justify themselves, they find themselves speaking out against that same Word. Now, let's go back to where Paul quotes Isaiah when he says, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" Rotherham said in his translation, "For all tables are full of filthy vomit. There is no place. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom would he cause to understand the message?" And that's my question today. Who really does understand the message? In Lamza translation, Isaiah 28, verse 29, all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. To whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand the report? Those who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast? For filth is upon filth, filth upon filth, vomit upon vomit, vomit upon vomit, a little here, a little there. For with difficult speech and an alien tongue he will speak to this people. For I have said to them, this is the place of my rest, wherewith I may cause the weary to rest. And this is the place of tranquility. But they wouldn't listen. So their word of the Lord was to them filth upon filth, filth upon filth, vomit upon vomit, vomit upon vomit, little here, little there, that they might return and fall backwards, be broken, snared, and taken. Notice to go backwards. Brother Bram said that the people are always looking back, they're always looking forward, but they're failing to recognize what God is doing now. I ask the question, what is God doing today in your life? What is he doing in this hour? Let's not look backwards, let's not look forward. But what is the I Am doing today? From his sermon, Is This the Time? Brother Bram said, for all tables are full of filthy vomit. There's no place. Who would he make to teach knowledge? And whom would he cause to understand the message? I believe it was Dr. Lamza who wrote that in the Lamza translation. And from Hebrews chapter 4, Brother Bram said, the prophet Isaiah said, all tables are full of vomit. So there is nothing clean. Just dog eat dog, come to church, women chop, bob off their hair, wear shorts, walk up and take the communion, act like you're somebody, cheat and steal and lie throughout the week. What's the matter with you? All tables are full of vomit. From the Patmos vision, Brother Bram said, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness. So there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? So I ask the question also, who can you teach doctrine to today? Who can understand it? And I believe only the elected will know and understand, because it's not for everyone. He said, if you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. And yet we can go throughout the world and we hear men say, don't talk doctrine. Doctrine separates. Well, that is true. But so does discernment. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. What did God do? He divided the light from darkness. The very second time God spoke, he said, let the waters from above be separated from the waters from below. The second time God spoke, there was division. The third time God spoke, there was division. He said, let every seed bring forth after its kind. And if a seed is going to bring forth, the cells have to divide in order to multiply. And how do you check any division? By multiplication. How do you check any multiplication? By division. You see, division puts multiplication in its place. Multiplication puts division in its place. It's life. You cannot have life without light. That's the first time God spoke. You cannot have life without water. The second time God spoke. And yet, you cannot have life without a multiplication of cells, and the cells must divide in order to multiply. That's why Peter tells us, grace and peace are multiplied unto you by the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. You see? Brother Bram said from his sermon, Shalom, he said, the elected see. They knows. It's always through every age that they know it. And again, from his sermon, Contending for the Faith, William Branham said, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. You cannot understand it. It's a mystical thing until you're born again. There the very life of God comes into you. Everlasting, eternal life, Zoe, God's own life, comes in you. And then you're a part of God. You're a son or daughter of God. And then you see as God sees. You believe as God believes. Well, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter, I think it's 2, he said, what man could know a man except the spirit of man be in him? And he said, what man could know the things of God except the spirit of God be in him? That's why, how can you understand the doctrine of Christ? How can you understand the message unless you're born again? You can understand that God sent a prophet. Hey, the whole world knew that. The Pentecostal churches knew that. But then they got to disagreeing on the doctrine. And they said, well, William Branham, you know, he's 100% when he's discerning, but you know, just don't listen to his doctrine. Hey, that's the thing to listen to. Brother Bosworth said the miracles and things, that's just the wrappings on the loaf. You don't eat the wrappings. You eat the loaf, the bread of life. You see? People keep pointing to the miracles. I'm not interested in the miracles, only in this. I'm interested in the fact that the miracles vindicated the prophet, vindicated a message. But I'm not interested in the vindication. I'm interested in what was vindicated, and that was a message. God came down with a message. As John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall your message forerun my second coming. In closing from his sermon, Shalom, Brother Branham said, and they're good people, they're fine people. But yet it seems like they can't understand. Looks like they can't get it. Why? I go back the next year and instead of being any better, it's worse. It continues on. Here's a sister that once had lovely long hair and she cut it off. There's a man that once looked like that he took his stand and went out for the thing that was right, and he's right back like a dog to his vomit, a hog to its wallow, see? Goes right back out on it, or out in it. It seems like there's something that has struck our people, it struck the world, and they don't seem to have the understanding, or there's something wrong. Just like you notice men today. You don't find that genuineness in men. You don't find it in women. Brother Branham said from the false anointed ones at the end time, he spoke of they that do not move on as the word of God comes to pass, they are lost. They're gone. He said they're dead and gone. How can we as a body of believers go back from what we came out from? Can you imagine Israel wanting to go back to the desert when the land of promise was standing right before him? Green and plush lands, and they want to go back to the desert? Or they want to go back to Egypt, worse yet? Brother Brown called that the world system they came out of. How in the world could we want to go backwards for one moment? If God takes you one step forward, don't take one backwards. Take the step forward and then stand. And when you've done all you can do to stand, simply stand. And if you've got to stay in that one spot and rot in that one spot, then praise God while you're rotting until He tells you to move one step forward again. But how dare we turn back from God and go backwards? I can't understand it for the life of me. We have a promise that the Holy Spirit, Brother Branham said, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium from the third Exodus. So if the pillar of fire is going to lead us to the millennium, either one of two things. If the pillar of fire is no longer here, then we're in the millennium, which I think is not the case. I know there's some that teach that, but that's ridiculous. The lion will lay down with the lamb. We won't have a bunch of perverts running around. So the only option is that the pillar of fire is still here. He's still leading. And if he's still leading, as John said, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin and it brings us into fellowship. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we are living in the end time. And it seems that your light is shutting down from so many because they just don't want your light. And you said if we walk in the light as you are in that light, that we would have fellowship one with another, and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, would cleanse us from all sin. So we see that men are choosing law for grace, and they are rejecting the blood by rejecting your light. And Father, I pray that you would seal us into that light and give us strength to walk in your light, that the blood might flow freely from the throne of grace and that it might hide our unbelief in that crimson flow. Father, keep us in thy word, and create in us a clean heart and eyes that can see and ears that are open to hear For we ask it in the lovely name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who showed himself to be an obedient Son. In that lovely name that you gave him, your own name, for Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. And in that name, Father, also the whole host of heaven will be named. And in that glorious name we pray. Amen.
Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, more to be desired are they than gold, and than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.
First verse one more time.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.